listening to the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. On this episode, we begin a short series that was taken from the 2013 Adequan USDF Annual Convention in an education session entitled The Good, the Bad and the Ugly. The presenters were Bill Solentes, who is a member of the Sport Horse Committee. He's also a member of the L faculty. He's a large R Sport Horse judge and an S judge. And joining him was Christy Wysocki, who is chair of the Sport Horse Committee. Christy is also a USDF certified instructor through second level. She's a large R dressage sport horse judge, an FEI three-star judge, and a para-equestrian three-star judge. The first part of this session addresses the many aspects of buying a sport horse, including what you can afford, what you can accept or walk away from, and the different stages of selection and purchase. But first, Christy Wysocki introduces the work of the Sport Horse Committee and talks about the upcoming events planned for later this year.
The Sport Horse Committee is put together to support the education programs for the dressage sport horse programs and also the competition programs that USDF supports.
So how did you get involved with that then? Tell us a little bit about your background.
I became a sport horse, a dressage sport horse judge in 2000 and started judging these shows. And in about 2005, I think, Scott Hassler, who was at the time the chair of this committee, asked me to join the committee, which I did. And then I gradually worked my way up to where I was his vice chair. And then about 3 years ago, I took over the committee.
As part of your remit, you have a seminar planned for July. Tell us about that, Christy.
The Sport Horse Committee has been running sport horse seminars for I went to one probably 20 years ago. It's been going on a long, long time. And this educational program is designed for the breeder, the owner, and the judge. And it's designed to teach the basics of conformation and movement of the dressage horse, and then we go into the judging methodology for judging these horses. And this forum is a two-day forum, and this year the Delaware Valley Combined Training Association is hosting the seminar. And it'll be held at Iron Springs Farms July 26th and 27th. And Bill Solentes and myself will be the instructors.
So over the 2 days, then, give us a sense of what topics you may cover.
Usually the way the timeline goes is the morning of the first day is focused on conformation of the horse and teaching people basic conformation. Then in the afternoon of that day, we use live horses to talk about what we went over in the classroom in the morning so that people can actually see what we're talking about using live horses. And then the second day, we get much more detailed into the movement of the horse and the judging methodology. And then again in the afternoon, we use live horses again so that the participants can practice the judging. Whether they want to become a judge or not, we allow them to practice evaluating these horses so they get a feel for what we're really looking for in a good dressage sport horse.
And is this open to any USDF member, Christy?
Both the Sport Horse Seminar and the Sport Horse Prospect Forums, they're open to anyone, including non-members. You do not have to be a member to come to these seminars and or forums. The Sport Horse Seminar is focused more on the breeding and the judging of the sport horses, whereas the Prospect Forum is focused on the three-year-old and their training. And the Sport Horse Seminar is a requirement for anyone who is wanting to become a dressage sport horse judge licensed by the USEF. They must attend two of these sport horse seminars before they can apply for that process.
And now Christy introduces part one of the education session, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
So today we're just going to try to give you a few tools. The majority of the people in this country, when you go to try to find your dressage horse, you have a budget somewhere between a couple thousand dollars and, if you're lucky, $20,000 to go find your perfect dream horse, which is doable. Okay, for most of us, that's doable. And so what we want to do is try to give you some tools to where you can actually go do this, and you can look at the horse with your own knowledge so that you don't have to depend upon the veterinarian, your trainer, other people. You can train your own eye so that you can see things that you like that are good, things that might not be good, might be bad, and what we term ugly is things that you turn around and walk away. Okay?
Now, we don't always just have horses in this price range. You could have even a lot more expensive horses, and you still maybe probably looking at many of them, but you want, of course, pick out the one that's probably going to be most likely to be successful for you. But we should also say that there are a lot of horses out there that are some hybrids. There are horses that are some of these Appaloosa Friesian crosses, these Belgian Thoroughbred crosses. There's all kinds of horses out there that are, you know, sitting around that could be potentially quite nice dressage horses if we know how to evaluate them. So we're going to do a little bit of eye development for you for that. So today we're going to learn some basic philosophy and confirmation issues, and then we're going to teach you to be very good at finding the lines in a horse, okay?
So that's the main objective today, is to
that's
teach
the main
you
objective.
A few lines, we call plumb lines, in the horse that are easy to find, that can give you a feel for whether this horse is going to work or not. So what we're going to go through, some of this we're going to go through very briefly, and then we're going to hone in on these plumb lines. We're going to talk about what you want for you, what you can afford, what you can accept, what you need to walk away from, no matter how much you like it. And then we're going to give you some tools to help you decipher that. So what do you want for you? It's important that you remember before you go shopping what you want for you, okay? For what you're going to do. That's very important. Your budget. The price of the horse, the travel to go look at the horse, commissions that are going to be involved, get all that lined out ahead of time so there's no questions. The vetting of the horse, what are you going to do, how much are you going to spend, figure all of that out. Transportation of the horse, if you live in California and you buy a horse in New York, there's total budget's $5,000. Half of it's to get the horse there, okay? So then you got to do all this ahead of time so you don't get emotional before.
Yes, what can you accept? Sometimes you're a gutsy rider, and you don't mind a little bit naughty horse that no one else can ride, but it's a talented horse. So that might be a good horse for you. But you might think you're a gutsy rider, and you're not. So you really need to do some soul searching before you start out in that respect. And is movement more important than disposition or the confirmations?
So you need to really think about these things before you go look at the horse, okay? What disposition are you looking for? The horse's attitude, their comfort zone, and your comfort zone. The confirmation, what their traits are, their qualities, and their faults. And then the gaits. You must be able to recognize the rhythm of the gaits. If you don't have a clear, correct rhythm, it's not going to work well in the dressage arena.
And you'll probably need to bring someone along with you that knows rhythm really clearly. Because that is number one when
it's the foundation.
And just a little trick, if you're going to look at several horses, bring a camera along, not just a video camera, but a still camera, because you're going to look at a lot of horses, and you want to be able to go back home and reevaluate some things on them, because your mind's eye and your plumb lines are probably not that well developed at this point. You know, they'll get better with experience.
The other thing that you need to also think about, the correctness and the quality of the gaits, and then you also have to remember whether you can ride the horse. Okay? Because you're buying the horse for you. If you're buying the horse for you, make sure that you can ride the horse. And I'm talking about, you may not necessarily, if it's a schoolmaster, may not be able to hop on and maybe do pirouettes or something, but make sure you can sit the trot. Okay? It's pretty useful.
And especially if you're maybe a little bit older and maybe not as supple as you used to be, comfortability is really important. Don't buy a horse that you think you're going to be able to collect someday and then learn to sit it, because it's going to be pretty hard.
And then the most important thing that we really think we want to hone in to you is that when there's a serious fault in the conformation or the gaits, or I could even say disposition, you need to learn to recognize that and be strong enough to walk away, even if you just adore the horse, okay? It's serious faults are important, and we're going to go through that in more detail. So the temperament. When you go to try the horse, watch the horse's ears and eyes. That can tell you a ton, okay? You want to watch the horse in its stall. You want to watch the horse being groomed. You want to watch the horse being tacked up. You want to watch the horse being handled in hand. Ask them to show you the horse's gaits in hand. And you also then want to watch someone else ride before you ride.
And I would suggest, even though you will make the seller very happy, show up a little early.
Yeah.
Rather than a little late. And do not be afraid to look them in the face and say, has this horse been ridden today? Because some people will be on their horse for 2 hours before you get there. Just give it a bath and put it in a stall. And hopefully they'll be honest. But
a couple other little things that you can watch to give you an idea of what this horse is like. Is its tail swishing all the time, or is it relaxed? Is the tail raised, okay? They're not going to have an elastic, relaxed back if their tail is up and raised all the time.
Okay? I will have to say that some horses are extremely sensitive. Sometimes thoroughbred mares, they're more likely to swish their tail a little bit or put their ears back, and you come by the saddle. That isn't always a horse that you're going to turn away from. But just remember that it's there, but it doesn't always have to be a bad thing.
So we're just briefly giving you these things to keep in the back of your mind. The conformation. You have to think about the horse's traits, their qualities, and their faults. The beginning, the balance, and the foundation. Then the connections between the body parts. And then today we're going to teach you some plumb lines to use to help you see these different pieces and parts.
And it wouldn't hurt to start a little checklist of pros and cons as you're looking at your horse. Especially if you're going to look at several of them. Oh, was that the horse that had the straight shoulder? Or was that the horse that, you know, was a little weak in the pasterns? That sort of thing.
There's a little toed in, a little toed out, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take good notes.
There's lots of different horses out there with lots of different body types. Different conformation usually results in different kind of movements. A lot of these horses have different jobs. And then when we talk about gaits,
yep.
Rhythm, number one. Mm-hmm. Then the correctness, the quality.
I will have to remind everyone that the trot is one gait that you will be able to improve probably almost every day of the horse's life. The walk, they're pretty much born with. The canter falls closely behind. So the walk really has to be pure, in my opinion. It doesn't have to be big. It just has to be pure, for sure.
And in fact, if it's a really big walk, it may be very prone to rhythm problems when you put it together. And then, of course, the correctness, which is the line of travel. If they travel straight with the four limbs. And then you add the quality. Don't look at the quality first. Don't get hung up in the quality and forget the rhythm and the correctness, okay? And then, of course, the faults of the gait. Rhythm would be the number one.
Yes, always look to the overall balance of a horse, although sometimes we are confused and we think the horse looks balanced and uphill, but we'll give you some tools to really determine that.
So the reason that's important, the reason that balance, that uphill balance is important, is because it will make it easier for the horse to efficiently do the work we want it to do. And it'll minimize it breaking down, and it'll make it also more cooperative because it's easier for it. So when you look at the horse just standing there, you want in your mind to see, can you picture this horse doing dressage? Does it have the uphill thought that it could do what you want it to do? And if you're going to stick around first and second level, that picture's a lot different than if you want to do Grand Prix.
And one of the things that you're going to be helping you be able to determine on a horse is where the balance points are.
And the reason this is all important with the conformation and how the horse is balanced is because that will hopefully, usually, relate to their movement. However, not every horse reads the book, okay? So you can be surprised after you look at a horse and then they move. It can be two different ball games.
Right.
And then, of course, you want a horse that has some flexibility. There's fluidity in the movement and the temperament for you. What temperament fits you? Some people like hot horses, and some people, it doesn't quite work. If you like them hot and you like them a little zingy, then and they like you, a lot of riders are super with that kind of horse. Not necessarily professionals, but it's got to be the temperament for you. Okay, so now when you start to look at the conformation, you start with this overall balance that we're talking about, and then you look into the frame, the head, the neck, the withers. You gradually go from a wide-angle lens down to a telephoto lens. Don't start with the telephoto lens or you'll get lost. And where that conformation goes into the movement of the horse. You need to know the horse's skeleton. We're not going to go into this today, but learn the horse's skeleton. You need to know the skeleton, because the skeleton is what puts the conformation together. And then that moves on to the movement. So you really do need to take the time at home and learn the different body parts of the horse, okay? We're not going to go into that today, but we really want you to think about that.
So there's lots of books on this, so you're going to have to go out, and we're not going to spend too much time on this, but you do need to go. It's really important to learn all the different bones and structure of the horse.
And these are some of the things, the traits that we look for in a dressage horse. In terms of, for instance, the well-muscled loin, that's a huge factor. The forward-sloping femur, neck set on correctly into the shoulder and the withers.
The fan-shaped pole is so important. Throat latch is very important.
Well-defined withers, but not extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we get into the plumb lines. Plumb lines are imaginary lines that we use to identify points in the horse's anatomy so that we can visualize the correct or incorrect conformation. These are extremely useful in helping identify good things and bad things. Okay? So you can use these lines from the side of the horse, the front of the horse. Two of the points that we feel in all the work we've been doing in the last 3 or 4 years together. In the books, they're both defined as center of gravity in different books. So we've found three different definitions of the center of gravity of a horse so far. And we feel that all these points are useful. So we came up with names for them that we feel are explanatory to what they're going to help you see. We're calling this the pivot point. You draw a line from the point of the shoulder to the point of the buttocks. And then you draw a vertical line from the highest point of the withers down to the ground. The intersection of those two lines, you want to be back and up for the horse to be up.
Right. And that's why we have to first take a peek to the conformation, then a peek to the movement that, it can compensate, because there are horses that do compensate for their conformation faults. I remember going through the barns many times at some of the bigger competitions, looking at all the horses at the World Cup and the Wagon. You think they look almost, some of them look like committees, but they all have compensating factors. So,
the second point we're calling the center of balance. In two separate books, these two points are both called the center of gravity of the horse, and the engineer in me asked third person, and I got a third answer. So I'm still working on it because I'm an engineer and we don't like things that aren't black and white. But anyway, we do feel both of these points are very valuable points for your eye, so you can call them whatever you want. We came up with the pivot point in the center of balance. You take a line
from the point of the shoulder to the top of the wither, and then we go to the angle of the croup,
okay. And
let that intersect. And then we take a straight line that goes down to the most deepest part of the back.
You hope.
And see where that lines up. Two, but let's move on.
This pillar of support is a line that runs through the groove in their forearm. That line where the muscles have that little indentation goes up and hopefully is well in front of the withers. And at the ground should be in the back fourth of the heel.
If that line comes down and the heel is too far forward of that line, it's going to be the tendons and the suspensory are going to take a tremendous amount of stress, and that horse then would have more of a chance of breaking down. If it was too far forward on the front third of the foot, you're going to get more concussion that would cause ring bone and problems with the coffin bone injuries and stresses there. So finding that line is a really important one.
So you look at the frame. We want the horse to have balanced from the back end to the front end. They should have a well-muscled top line. We're looking for a rectangular versus a square shape. You want adequate depth of heart girth so that they have a place for their heart and lungs, because they need to be able to breathe for you to be able to get through your 7.5-minute test.
Right.
And it gives you a place for your leg.
So front legs, long front legs, are what give you high scores in your walk, in your flying changes, in your half pass, and your extensions. So we want to breed long front legs into our horses.
And the other biggie is the croup and loin connection.
That is the transfer case area. Yeah, the power that comes from the hind legs, if it's not transferred through the back, is not very useful. What people are oftentimes misunderstanding is that a modern horse is a rectangular horse, but a rectangular horse and a long horse are oftentimes confusing to some people. So the rectangular horse that becomes a little bit longer has to come from greater angles in the shoulder and the croup, not just a long back. Okay, and there are horses that are too short.
Now, these are just some tools to help you. You want the leg length to be greater than the depth of the body horse. And then, of course, the length of the horse is greater than the horse's height.
Next week's episode, we'll consider conformation faults. The February issue of USDF Connection magazine features a summary of this session in an article entitled Sport Horse Crash Course. This article and the podcast contain just a sliver of the information that will be presented in the upcoming two-day USDF Sport Horse Seminar from July the 23rd through the 27th at Iron Spring Farm in Coatesville, Maryland. The 2014 Adequan USDF Annual Convention, presented by SmartPak, will be held in Cambridge, Massachusetts from Wednesday, December 3rd through Saturday, December 6th. This podcast is available on iTunes and at usdf.podbean.com. Visit eTrack, the USDF's online learning center and resource for dressage and equine education, to watch videos from these and other USDF events at usdf.org. The USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.